offending anybody or anybody misunderstanding me.
All right, here we go. In 3, 2, 1, welcome everybody to Lais and the Coach. And we just finished watching the last episode of Cobra Kai.
Yes, hi guys.
Oh my God. You guys were watching it last night. I didn't get a chance.
Oh, we're talking there.
We're talking over there. Sorry. So we are recording on multiple cameras.
There's lights everywhere.
But in today's episode, we have a returning guest that we have been trying to get on the show for almost a year.
Even though she lives with us.
It has been so difficult to coordinate this episode, even though she is a hop, skip, and a jump away. She's very busy.
My schedule is just...
But needless to say, welcome Bree back to the show.
Yes.
We wanted to interview Bree after her, not Orlando show, the Miami show. She had just competed in what show number was that?
5, right?
Miami.
In Miami 4.
Miami. Miami was show number 4.
Mm-hmm. Orlando was 5, and this past Orlando was 6.
No. So we wanted to interview her after Orlando in June.
Yeah.
That was 5.
Yes. Yeah.
We wanted to interview her after show number 5, which was in Orlando last year, and then to see how that had gone for her. And then we wanted to interview her again in April
after show number six.
And we will go over some of that. But most importantly, one of the reasons that I wanted to have her back on the show is because one of the things that she may have some unique viewpoints on is how it is to compete at her age, but also how it is to budget for all these show expenses. So before anything, this show is sponsored by The Workout here in St. Cloud. If we're gonna have a sponsor, you close that door. If we're gonna have a sponsor, it might as well be us. So The Workout is here 100%. In St. Cloud.
Yes.
And there'll be links to that on our show description. How about that?
Yep.
Well, we sponsor ourselves.
Not sponsored by this trash water.
Anyway. So, Bree, welcome back to the show.
Yes, Bree.
Let's go back to that show in Orlando. Just really quick, let's touch on that.
Show number 6.
Show number 5. In Orlando. Because I think that was that had been your best showing to date. Do you remember that show?
Yes.
What was different about that prep leading into that show for you that maybe made you stand out the way that you did?
Okay. So when I began prepping for that show, I had just gotten into an accident. Okay.
That's right. I forgot about the accident.
Me too.
Bree got ran over.
By a car.
She got hit.
Ran over sounds
better. Ran over it's sounds like they went over her.
It's better for views though.
She got hit by a car.
By a
cop car. Mm-hmm. On her bicycle.
Yeah.
It was like 8 o'clock at night and I was riding my bike home and this cop was at a stop sign and I sat there for like maybe 2 seconds. The road was empty. I'm like, okay, this guy stopped here. Like he's waiting for me to cross. So I start to go. And the second that I hit like the pavement, like the road after the sidewalk, he goes at the same time. So like his right headlight hit my front wheel and I tried to turn the other way, but I like kind of like ran into the car, fell over. The bike pedal ended up actually tearing into my foot and my ankle ripped my shoe off. He ran over my front tire. So it was like all bent out of shape. My phone flew on the floor, it cracked. Like I was bleeding.
I was bleeding.
Oh my God.
Anyway. That's going to be a soundbite. Anyway, right. But you continued to do all the things you needed to do.
Right. So after that, I was on crutches and I had stitches in my foot. So it was at first a little bit hard for me to get around. I couldn't really like train the way that I needed to at first. But
when was that?
That was February.
February. And the show was in June.
In June. Correct. And after maybe a month or so, like I had just been training upper body, but through that, I did get a little lazy and I put on some weight and I
was
about like 10 pounds,
mm-hmm.
10 extra. So I was about five to seven up from my show weight that I was maintaining at. But then I gained an extra 10 because I was just kind of sitting around all day. Like it kind of took the advantage to be lazy. And That eventually backfired as I was getting ready for a show. So after getting better and being able to actually train the way that I needed to about a month after, mm-hmm. I still had a few injuries, but I covered it up and went to the gym. To me, it was going to be my fifth show at the place that I originally did my first show. I hadn't been back mm-hmm. in a year and a half or 2 years. I hadn't been back in 2 years. So to me, I was like, okay, this is like my comeback, right?
Right.
I need to come back to this show. This is my fifth show. Last time I was here was my first show. Like the transformation to this show needs to be way more ridiculous than anything that I've ever done.
And one of the things with I think everybody that we coach, right? I think in general, that first go around, that road to the stage, the journey to the stage, the first time that you're doing it, one of the things that we preach the most is that the goal is just to get there. Mm-hmm. The goal is to make it to that moment, right?
100%.
So that you have that experience. As you do it more and more, as you fall in love with the process, right, of getting ready for shows and you enjoy it, then your goals change and you 100%. Do want to be competitive and do better and keep progressing.
Yeah.
So,
and you can pinpoint exactly what you want to do better in.
Of course.
That very first show, you don't even know what you're going to look like, what that experience is.
That's why I said, like, the goal has got to be just to make it.
But once you do it, then you could be like, okay, like last time I felt very shy, very nervous. This time I really want to work on my posing. Obviously, the physique is always a continuous thing. Mm-hmm. But as you do more and more shows, it's exactly that. You start to know what you want to like tackle. And I think that that's a great point. Like a fifth show is okay.
So for
like
show number five, we were definitely looking to do something better. And again, just for context, because maybe you're watching us for the first time, we coach Bree. I do her training and nutrition, and Lais does her posing. And Bree is our right-hand person. We rent a room to her. She's the only client that we have that lives with us.
That's a good way to put it.
Anyway, so show number five, you were trying to do better.
Yes.
You wanted to bring it.
I wanted to bring it, and I was going to like make my mark. Like, listen, I'm here from now on.
Did you want to win?
I didn't want to. I there was a part that's tricky because I didn't want to have any unrealistic expectations of wanting to win and let that take away from my experience. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to prove to myself that I can actually be competitive in a lineup. That was my win. Like, not getting first and going pro.
Right.
My win was, am I actually competitive along all these other
right.
people?
Mm-hmm.
That's a good answer.
Right. Mm-hmm. And how did you do in that show?
I got third place. It was my second time getting third. And there were quite a few girls on stage.
It was a big lineup.
It was. I did two categories. That was the first time I ever did two. I did bikini and wellness, and eventually I found out that I fit a lot better in wellness mm-hmm. after being compared side by side. But so I got third.
So leaving that show, were your plans to continue to like roll right into the next show?
Yes. So right after that show, I'm like, man, like this is the best that I've ever looked. Like I remember taking a video backstage and I'm like, man, like this video of me is like, I couldn't even believe it.
And that was in June of 2021.
In June of 2021. And my goal was like, okay, perfect. Let's keep this. Let's get ready for Miami 2021 in just 4 months,
November,
mm-hmm. four or five, mm-hmm. something like that.
Right. Like from June to November.
Right. So in that process of transferring and getting ready for that Miami show, like my head was just not in it. Like I just done five shows back to back every few months in that past 2 years. So to me, like I just wasn't in it. Like I wasn't focused. I am always excited to be getting ready for a show, but for whatever reason, I just couldn't stay focused.
We had also moved in that time. We moved, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Here.
We moved here.
Yeah.
We had a massive road trip.
It was also like a very pivotal moment for her in her career, because even though she's been helping us or working with us all these years, like in the last year specifically, like she really took on the video production and she really took on all of the things that she does, including being my right hand, our right hand, and doing so much more. Like she started driving, so she was running a bunch of errands for us. So it became, she became like almost as busy as us. And that's a big shift and that's a big transition. Cause I remember even for me, like when I first started competing, that's pretty much all I was doing. Like, yes, I'm a mom and I'm a wife and I helped you, but I wasn't like working. Like I helped, you know, I helped. Like I did what I needed to do every day, but it wasn't like I had like loads on me. Yeah. And once that changed for me, it became a little bit harder to manage the competing side. Yeah. So that's what happened. Like we moved, we did a road trip.
Yeah.
We decided at that point that like we were going to all kind of go all in on my prep. So there were a lot of shifts there that prevented her from, aside from what she just said, really going all in on that prep. And it's important to know when you're not in it to pull out, you know?
There's a lot of different moving parts there.
You know, one of the things is always that, I think you said it in our last show, in a live that we did, you can't be goalless, right? Yeah. And I think that a lot of times competitors, if they don't have a show that's really close or coming up, almost like crumble, fall apart, like
you're aimless.
Stop doing all of the things. And one of the reasons that we even started doing this the way that we do it is because eating the right way and exercising is always the right thing to do.
Good for you.
There's just no downside to that,
yeah.
Right? Inside of whatever that means to you. Now, obviously, like there's in our industry, there are a lot of things going on that we don't agree with and things that we don't do that could be detrimental long term, but we don't do any of those things. There, you know, the health of our athletes is always the most important thing. So even though we all decided that that show was not for her, the training didn't stop, you know, being mindful of the food choices didn't stop because at the end, she's still, you know, a competitor.
Right. Because like, although I wasn't getting ready for that show, I had gotten ready for that photo shoot. I did the same firm photo shoot.
And you switch shows. You're like, well, I'm going to get ready for the next one.
Right.
And that becomes a goal-less thing. Like, it's not that you have to do show after show after show, but you have to know what's next.
Right.
You have to have something. And a lot of times we'll say, you know, when people don't have that big goal, they don't really put in the work because it's not like hanging over their head. But especially for the person that has done one. Like, if you've never done a show, you don't know what it feels like to have a goal that big hanging over you and making you be non-negotiable about how you got to show up every day. But when you have that goal, once you've had it, once you take it away, it really does become hard to focus. Because now it becomes like everyday life or a vacation or even a photo shoot sometimes isn't enough because you know what it takes to make you do all that. So you not only got ready for that photo shoot, but you had already set your sights on your next show, even though it was next year.
Exactly. You know? And it was that was the longest break that I ever took. Since I started from competing.
Right. Yeah. So as we shifted into prep for show number six, was there anything different in your mindset on how you were going to approach this show? Because if you went into show number five wanting to be competitive and wanting to do better and look your best, was there anything that you were thinking about going into show number six that was different?
And show number six was in April of the following year.
Yes.
So everyone knows timelines.
April 2022.
Right. So show number five was June 2021. And show number six got moved from November 2021 to April 2022.
Right.
Go ahead.
I think that the main thing that switched in my head with that prep is two things. It's twofold. Number one is how can I, like every prep you want to get better. So I'm like, how can this be my longest, most consistent prep? What can I do every day that makes this prep feel smooth sailing, flow really well, feel good the way that I want to feel, not feel like I need to doubt what's happening, right? And then the second part was like a commitment to myself that it's like I've now need to set the standard really high for myself and I don't want to disappoint myself anymore. Like I don't want to go for low goals anymore. Like now I want to step up. It's like, okay, guess what? Like while you can't control the outcome of what happens, I want to do everything that I can to win. And I want to do everything that I can to like go in there and like steal the show and freaking kill it. Like doesn't matter who is on there. Like that is going to be my moment. And that's going to be where I show everyone like what I'm capable of bringing to the table.
And that's what happens. Like you can't control.
You can't.
the outcome of any show, right? Like you don't know which direction the judges are going to go in, but you can always control the effort that you put in mm-hmm. to what you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we've observed lately a lot is that a lot of the feelings and emotions on stage have more to do with the kind of prep that somebody had than how they look at the moment. Because we've seen people look great.
I'm people.
Including her, right? Like we've seen people that look great on stage, look amazing, right? And are just not having a good experience at the moment.
Or feel like they don't look great
because of the level of effort and consistency that they put into their prep. And then that translates into that. And it's not till later, months later, that they look back and be like, damn, like I really look great.
I looked great.
And
I didn't think I did.
And it's difficult to separate because what you're feeling has nothing to do with the way that you look. What you're feeling is, I wish I would have done
your
more.
Effort.
I wish I could have done this.
And same thing goes the other way. You can get up there and feel fucking amazing and not place and not win, but you feel great because you know mm-hmm. that you did everything you could have.
Right.
And everyone on that stage, or at least half of the people on that stage, if not more, did everything they could have.
Right.
So then what happens is, then who's put in the most amount of time? Right. And who can perform better? And then you start to nitpick the little things. And that's how eventually, you know, some people rise to the top versus others, but everyone for the most part gave it their all. Yeah. So you giving it your all doesn't mean you're going to get up there and win because everyone else did too. Mm-hmm. But we've seen that with a lot of people, including me, where it's like, you get there that day and you don't feel like you look good. You start to pick yourself apart because you're like, oh, like, and it has nothing to do with how you look and everything to do with how you prepped based on how you know you can prep. Because
right.
even then, on those times where I felt bad, I did not prep. Like,
right.
I put in work.
Right.
But I didn't put in the level of work that I knew I could have.
Right.
Right. And that's what fucks with you. Like, because you know better.
Yeah.
And then it makes you wonder. But I think it's important to backtrack to when she first started answering this question, that she said, I told myself that I wasn't going to, and I don't know if this is exactly what you said, but this mm-hmm. is just, I wasn't going to doubt that it was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's an interesting point because everyone feels that way. But you live with us,
right?
Right, like you live with your coach. Like, forget right. me because I just do the posing part. But you live with the person that literally gets you there,
right.
that sees how you're eating, that sees how you look in person, like
every day,
that sees what you're doing and not doing.
Yeah,
and still you have doubts,
right?
That it's going to happen.
I wonder, are those doubts like doubts in the process itself? Are they doubts in the effort that you're going to put in and day out? Or are they just doubts in general that, you know?
Because you have to have a feeling, so might as well have that one.
No. Honest, like, fully honest.
Listen, be honest. You're honest.
She's going to get kicked out after this.
He doesn't know that I do this, right? So if I'm ever doubting myself.
Careful, Brie. I always have to defend her.
If I'm ever doubting myself.
So you're doubting yourself?
Yes, I'm doubting myself.
Not the coaching or the process.
No. I know. I fully believe that if I did everything, like, I'm going to get the outcome no matter what. Not only have I done it that many times and I've seen it through and I know better, but I've also seen it throughout everyone else.
Right.
So that's not where I have my doubt. My doubt is if I know I'm not doing everything that I need to do, then like if I'm...
Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm like, oh man, like I'm really craving sweets. Like, let me just have one cookie. Like, that happens. Or it has happened.
The fact that you don't think he knows.
Of course I know he knows. But
I grab like 4 at a time. Like, fuck it. I ate some cookies. He's like, I know. I'm like, how? You're not even facing the kitchen. You're facing the other way.
Right.
Like, eyes on the back of his head.
Literally. But that's where my doubt comes in. It's like, oh, because I know.
Those cookies.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. It's like, okay. Not because I'm following the plan. I'm like, oh, it's not going to happen. Because I'm not following the plan. I'm like, man, how am I going to do this to myself again? Like, to me, that doubt is, am I gonna like not do what I need to do? And that's where it's like, okay, well, I'm not telling him that I'm not doing that, which is wrong. But like, to me, I'm like, he can fix it.
Yeah, that's what I always do. I think that's the curse. Everyone's always like, it's so great. Like, you get to be with him all the time. I'm like, yeah, it's a blessing and a curse because it'll be like, fix it. Fix it. What do I do about this? What do I do instead of that?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
It's my thoughts are mathematical because if you look at the entire spectrum, and we talk about this often, right? If you look at if you look at this, what is this? 16 ounce bottle of water, right?
Shit water.
If you focus, if you focus on a capsize of water versus what's left in the entire bottle, and your entire focus is on this cap full of water, then yeah, of course you're going to have doubts and second guess. But that's because you're dismissing where the rest of the water is, right? So I know that for the most part, there's always room for error. But what I'm focusing on is the bulk of the work getting done. Because this we can always repair. That's why it's easy to fix. This we can't fix, right? So yeah, living with living together, I can see all of it. And then it's we're seeing all of the work. If you were grading a test and you got a 90, right? Which I think is an A.
That was such a great explanation.
That is.
You need to like, that's what I'm going to, yeah, I was going to pick up this mic and drop it, but I'd probably get in trouble.
Right? But if you got a, like, let's say there's 100 questions and you got 10 of them wrong and you got a 90, you still pass, right? You still retain the information. You can't dismiss the 90 questions you got right because you got 10 wrong. And the thing becomes, did you get them wrong or could it have been something else, you know? Is it a multiple choice? And it could have been either or. Like, there's so many variables. But the important part is you got 90 questions right, right? Like, the bulk of the water was consumed. Right. And the focus goes on the things that you're doing wrong because you know you're doing something you're not supposed to do.
Yeah.
And then there's guilt. And then mm-hmm. the guilt is what takes really over. Consumes you.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's consuming is the guilt, not the cookies.
Yeah. And I think it's important to note, it's not like taking a break from my diet and the whole pack, it's always like one or two.
Right.
And it's like, but it's, you set like this.
The thing is that it's one or two, apart from what's already planned.
Right.
So for example, like I have ice cream or cookies, mm-hmm. right? But sometimes I want all the things. So I'll have my ice cream and I'll measure it. And I'm like, oh, I'm just going to grab two cookies too. You know?
It's, right.
So it's like, that's where the guilt comes in. It's not because we don't eat cookies or we're not allowed ice cream.
Right.
Or open meals or any of that. It's more like, it's almost like you want to be like, but I want all
rebel.
The things, so I'm going to do it.
Right.
I'm in charge.
But you prep for that show.
Right. I prep for that show.
And you were going into it wanting to win more than like,
right.
Like you wanted to come in better.
Right.
And if you had just placed third in a big lineup, uh-huh. then, you know,
and at the
there's only two
opener,
more spots.
Too, like to me, it's like, all right, this is like the real deal. This is a big show. Like, doesn't matter how I place, right? I need to come in and be like, damn, like I stood out amongst all these other people.
And really quick, one of the things that we say to our athletes all the time is just because you place well in one show, right? Always remember that unless it was exact same lineup, that doesn't mean much.
Yep.
Because your next show could have a completely different lineup, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's why you always got to control your prep. Because if you come in better than your last show, then you could look intrinsically and say, I was better, regardless of who was on stage with me. Because if I was really good in a lineup that wasn't great, and then that same physique in a much better lineup doesn't place, like what you got to worry about is you. And
that's
so
really
hard
the only...
to like get that through sometimes because you're trying to control an outcome that isn't in your hands.
And it's literally the only game anyone should be playing.
Right.
It's like, did you improve from your last time? Your physique,
right.
Your posing, your bikini, your all the things. Like, can you put those pictures next to each other and be like, wow, there was work in between these two.
And,
sounds cliche, but you are your
And
own
I want to get back to Bree, but just really quick, since we just went on a tangent, it's really interesting to watch athletes and competitors worry about placing and not necessarily put in the effort to get better than their last show, but be so caught up in placement, right? It's like, you're not even putting in more effort than the last time. How are you worried about placement? You know, it's like, switch that around, guys. If you're a competitive fitness competitor, like if you're into the sport, honestly, in anything, you could be a runner, you play basketball, football, like all you can control is how much effort you put into your preparation, right? And your only goal the only thing that you can control goal-wise is whether or not you can do better than the last time you did your best.
That's it.
But
doing better doesn't mean placing better.
Means
looking better, performing better.
Think about this.
Better,
I was watching,
better.
A lot of you don't know, I'm really a devoted fan to track and field.
Yes. Oh my God. He is. I didn't know if you were going to say that or BTS.
everyone knows I like K-pop. But anyway, like if you watch a lot of the like the sprinters, right? 100, 200 short races. How much faster can you actually get? We're talking about, you know, split hairs of a second, right?
Yeah.
So you as a sprinter look at your runs and you're like, all right, well, I want to run a little bit faster. You can't look at so-and-so and say, I want to run faster than them when you're not at their in their bracket, right? But you can look at your speed and say, I want to run faster than I did last time. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're a competitive sprinter, right? And you're literally like first, second, third, fourth, and fifth, and the only thing separating you is a fraction of a second. You can come in better than you did last time, but it doesn't mean that they're not too.
Exactly.
You know, so all you can control is what you're doing. And that's all you got to focus on. When you lose focus of that, right? And you go into, let's say, a race. Let's stop talking about the bikini stuff or fitness stuff. If you're going into a race, you're like, I want to win. Or I want to place. I want to come in first, second, or third. And you forget to run your race. Mm-hmm. Then you're not going to do good, you know, because you're worried about you can't control how fast the other people run.
Yeah.
You can't, you know? So anyway, back to you. So you wanted to come in better for this show, and did you do things that were different?
Yes. I think that the only thing that I did different is I kind of switched it up in my mind in terms of training or making certain food decisions that I was like, is this going to get me the outcome that I want? Is this going to bring out my physique better than it needs to be? Like, what small decisions am I making? Like, oh, like this is too heavy. Like, I'm just going to put the weight down. Or like, am I really pushing hard enough to build the muscle that I know that I want to build so that I can have the physique that I actually want to have this time around? Like, am I like those little things like, okay, is this 5 pounds really going to make a difference if I go from 25 to 20 or from 20 to 15? Like, I would snap out of it and be like, no, like I need to push as hard as I physically can, because if I don't, I'm going to regret it.
One of the things that I know you did different was your posing.
Yes.
Like you put a lot more work into your posing for this last show that you did than you had in the past ever. And obviously it all compounds, right?
Of course.
Five shows and all of the practices that go into those five shows, mm-hmm. plus all of the practice that you put in for show number six.
And that's what I was going to say. The thing with posing that people don't get a lot of times, especially when they're new, is that going on stage and shining, like really being confident and being out there, is a mixture of how many like sessions we did, right? Mm-hmm. Like how much she learned, how much she practiced on her own, and how many times she stepped on stage. People underestimate the importance of the experience. Mm-hmm. It's not just, are you repping it out at home? Like, that's fucking great, but have you done it in front of people so many times, right? And it's like workshops that we did or stepping on stage. It's like, that's where the posing magic really happens. Like, you gotta like actually do it. It's like when you get out of med school and you're like, you don't go straight into being a doctor. Like, you have to practice, right? Like, you have to do your residency. Like, you gotta like physically do it. You can't just learn.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's like, you can't just learn posing from me or from him or from anybody and then get on stage.
Right.
You gotta practice, but you also gotta get on stage. And people miss that. They think that, you know, because they'll do sessions or because they practice a lot, that they're gonna get up there and they're gonna be like, you will, but it takes
time.
Time to feel that way.
Yeah. And I think that with the posing part, I remember I think that that's something that in the beginning I really slacked with. I remember not practicing like at all until the very last second because I underestimated it. I'm like, oh, like
you go up just there, walking,
do some poses, you walk in some heels. Like, okay, I think I got like the basics down. Like, I'll be fine. But as you do more and more shows, like you said, like you realize like, oh man, like I wish that for me, my thing was like, I don't want to come off like a kid. I am young. So to me, it's like, I didn't want to seem like, oh, you know, it's just young 19-year-old, like 18-year-old Brie, like on the stage again. Like, to me, it's like,
you want to be taken seriously.
I want it to be taken seriously. Like, I want it to level up in all areas.
Your physique, your posing,
my bikini, my gown, like everything was different. And the posing, I remember I would practice every day. Like, every day I made sure that I took videos, sent it to you, but I took videos 10, 20 times over until I knew that I did it the way that we had discussed. Mm-hmm. Like, if I messed up at all, like, I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, like, I messed it up. Like, I'll still send it to you. Like, I'm not going to do that because to me, that's a disservice. Like, drilled my walk. I completely changed my walk. Like, that's freaking hard. Five shows.
You've done it.
Five shows, posing and doing everything the same way. And then completely changing things. Like, I don't, like, my main side pose or my main front pose, my walk. Like, your walk is, like,
your signature.
Your signature, your main mm-hmm. thing. Like, that's what you do the most of.
Yeah.
You mostly walk on stage. And for me, like, to switch that up, it's like, oh, my God. Like, it was, like, starting over from
yeah.
scratch.
It's harder to change something than it is to learn it from scratch. Because mm-hmm. you got to break the
it's
things
like
that, like, naturally happen.
I used to... 20 years ago, I got really into playing golf and I self-taught kind of like I ordered, they used to sell this thing called the Medicus, and it was a golf club that if you swung it the wrong way would break. Like it had it. So,
cool.
So imagine this golf club, right? It had like two brackets, and if you swung down the wrong way, it would snap. So
oh,
you couldn't
shit.
Hit a ball. Right? So I learned
scare
how to,
me.
So I learned how to play with that because mm-hmm. you have to hit it straight and perfect every time.
Mm-hmm.
So I trained myself to play mm-hmm. using this golf club, right? Sure. Over and over and over. And I would go to the driving range and I would only hit balls with that, mm-hmm. right? And then as I got better and I wanted to play and I wanted to play more, I hired a coach. Mm-hmm. And he destroyed what I was doing.
Oh.
Like, he's like, that's all wrong. Like, you're standing the wrong way. You're swinging the wrong way. And he tried to help me, like, do this right mm-hmm. and I couldn't hit a ball, and you know what happened? I stopped playing altogether.
Yeah,
because it was just annoying.
I see that a lot with people who have either done like shows from different federations or who have worked with different coaches or just even have never had a coach, right? It's like have done a show. It's like it's always harder to take someone that's already learned something a certain way and undo it than it is to take someone that's completely clueless and kind of
mold them.
Give them the guidance. But if anybody from our team is watching, I want to backtrack to what you said about sending me the perfect video because I fucking hate that so much. I want to clarify it because you're not supposed to send the perfect video.
Mm-hmm.
What she meant is that we went through very specific things together
yeah.
and she wasn't doing them in the video.
Yes.
Because you're not qualified to see a video and say, this is a good video, this is a bad video, this is right, this is wrong, right? Because a lot of times, like people do that. And I'm like, that's the point of the coaching. Like mm-hmm. the point of the coaching so that I could tell you what's wrong or what's right. And a lot of times those wrong things become right. Like that wasn't what we planned, but that actually looks really good. So let's do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it's like the reason, like we have always said, like Brie, if you want to like step up your game, you're going to have to put a lot of work into your posing. It was one of her, even though she lives with us, like it was a downfall for her. But I think it was more about that. I want to clarify that.
Yeah, it was more
about like making sure that it was executed in a way where we had planned
yes.
instead of like the old stuff that you naturally do that would
yeah.
come out. Like you were
yeah.
trying to break a lot of
yes.
habits. You were doing a lot of shifting.
Yeah, that's
it wasn't like the perfect
no.
video. It was
no,
like
no, no, no.
breaking those habits.
Right.
Because she would do it and I'm like, you're shifting again, or you're doing the
yeah.
leg thing again, or you're doing this thing again.
Yeah,
right.
Like, it was like I can't breathe. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah.
So it was like that.
But you
not
did
like,
put in a lot of work.
Not like, oh my God, this isn't perfect. It was more like, oh crap, I'm reverting back to the things I used to be doing. Like
mm-hmm.
I can't like switch it. Like that's
And after all that practice, all that
mm-hmm.
work, so you got to show weekend. It was a season opener for April.
Mm-hmm.
And how did it play out for you?
Man, I think that was like, I feel like it was one of my favorite shows. Cause that was one of the ones that's like, to me, all the work and all the stress that I normally have when it comes to show weekend, because I know we're going to get into this, but in terms of like budgeting and stuff, like I wait till the last minute. This show was the first time that I wasn't at the last minute stressing about
like scrambling,
like, how am I going to pay for this? How am I going to pay for that? And I had my bikini ahead of time, gown ahead of time, everything ahead of time prep. I felt good about myself 6 weeks out. Like to me, I'm like, all right, this is smooth sailing from here. Like I already know I put in the work, got to execute everything that he says. And boom, I already know that I'll be ready. Like there was nothing in my head that was for me to stress about. So by the time that I got to show weekend, I was able to enjoy it fully. I'm like, all right, this is awesome. This is my sixth show, right? We had a big team for that show.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being like, all right, I am going to make sure that every single person here is going to have just as much fun as I am.
Mm-hmm.
I made that my goal. Like, does anyone need help with anything? Is anyone like kind of overthinking in their head. Like, I was like, I wanted to be like, this is going to be a great time, and I'm going to make sure that you have a good time too. Like, I'm going to, like, I want you to know how fun this can be for you.
Right.
Like, and I think that when I made it about having a good time, enjoying my experience and enjoying all of the work that I had put in, then that made everything just 10 times better.
Yeah.
And that's one of the good things about, like, all the senior members of our team, mm-hmm. that, you know, being a part of our team is about so much more than just stepping on stage. You know, the show weekend experience is amazing if you allow it to be.
If you allow it
and
to be. It can be fucking miserable if you don't allow it.
Right? It's important that the veterans on our team have that input and insight when her and I are not able to or not around.
When we say it, but you guys don't, it doesn't come off the same as someone that's right next to you going to do it with you in that moment.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Right. So everything was good. You coasted into that show, and the outcome?
I actually placed second. It was the best that I had ever placed. And then on top of it, I was awarded my pro card.
Yes. So new WBFF Wellness Pro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Show number six.
Show number six.
Yeah. Actually, for all of you trying to do a fucking first show and win a pro card.
Hold on, because it was actually number eight. I did two virtual ones. And although that was like during COVID and it's not a real show.
That's not a show.
It's not.
Sorry, it's a video. There's something about stepping on stage that's very different than how many takes you can take on a phone.
Yeah.
And we prepped for those like for 4 weeks.
Right.
So it's not.
Right.
So six solid shows. Like you stepped on stage, you prepped for months, you designed a bikini, mm-hmm. like you got in front of people. Like that's a, nothing compares to that.
Right. 100%.
You know, like 100%. That's a real deal. Right. You did six of them. Like that's a lot.
It's a lot,
you know?
And as of right now, September 30th, 2022, you are prepping for your pro debut in Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm. Yes. How's that going?
Stepping into the pro ranks.
Well, at first it was a little bit of a struggle bus, but now I've finally gotten to a rhythm and I'm flowing through everything and I'm checking off all the boxes.
So before we get into like your first pro show and all of that, what I really wanted to talk about or go over, or at least get your perspective, is on all of the financial commitments that go into prepping for a show. Now, one of the things that we wanted as parents for her was to get the lessons that you have to get when it comes to budgeting to do something that you want to do. Insert thing, right? Like in this particular case, it was budgeting for, you know, paying for all the things that go with the show. But insert thing, right? A trip, a house, a car, like insert thing. We just happen to use this as a vehicle to, you know, take advantage and use it as a teaching moment.
Yep.
But at the same time, one of the things that we have observed is that, you know, a lot more goes into mapping out how that should play out or could play out than maybe we anticipated when we started helping people and coaching people to get ready for the stage.
Yeah.
So let's get your take on, so everybody knows, we made sure that Bree understood that if she was going to do this, she was going to be responsible for taking care of the financial part, mm-hmm. you know, because it's one of the things that's really important about it too. Like once you are financially committed, you know, because everybody works hard for their money, then there is something that makes it a little bit more real, a little bit more serious.
That saying that we always hear, people who pay attention.
People that pay attention, you know.
When you pay attention. You have to have skin in the game. Mm-hmm. And so it's, yes,
how many people would back out of a show if it was free?
Yeah. Or not take it serious. Yes, as parents, we want her to learn that lesson of budgeting and of earning and of setting money aside and all the things. But I think mostly, like, we wanted her to feel like, this is your journey. This is something you want to do. You're going to have to make sure you have skin in the game and that you pay for the things that you say you want to do.
Mm-hmm. 100%. So we can go over any show, but I think in general, what I wanted to cover is, how do you structure your budget for taking care of all of the expenses? And for you guys that don't know, like, you've got to pay to register to compete. You've got to pay to compete. You've got to pay for your makeup and your tanning, You've got to pay for photo shoots if you're doing photo shoots. You've got to buy a bikini. You've got to buy a dress. You've got to buy shoes. There's a lot of
accessories,
things,
photo shoot outfits that
go into it, right?
Stage photos and videos.
You know, and you've got to pay for coaching. Mm-hmm. You know, there are a lot of things that go into it. Bree doesn't pay me.
No, or me.
But we're negotiating now that she's a pro. Like,
you got to pay to stay at a hotel.
Right. You got to pay for the show. All of those things.
Yeah.
But how did you structure it, or how have you found it best to budget based on where you are in life, right? You're 20 years old, about to be 21. There are plenty of other things that you would rather do. How have you done it? Or at least how have you figured out to do it over the last 6 shows, if that makes sense? I hope everybody's following.
So basically, like, I always start off by like organizing everything that I need to pay, right? How much does registration cost? How much does services and tan and makeup cost? How much am I willing to spend for my bikini? Because that's the thing. It's like, you can spend as much money as you possibly can on this.
I love how she's like, you can.
No, sorry. I didn't mean you. I just meant like an extensive amount. You can spend a lot on a bikini, right? But it's like, how much am I willing, or how much can I possibly spend so that I can get what I want without having to sacrifice anything? Mm-hmm. And I list everything out on a piece of paper. And then what I do is like, how much money do I currently make? And what is the minimum amount of money that I need to pay for everything that I have going on a regular basis? My phone bill, gas, random, I don't have to pay for anything. I don't have anything going on. Those are my two things. But I'm like, what is the minimum amount of money that I need to have on me at all times? And then everything else can go to savings. For the majority of the time, it's about 90% goes to savings right away. Like, because when you take away things that you realize, like, did I really need those Amazon leggings? Did I really need to go stop at Chipotle for food when I have food at home? Like, little things like that eventually my money is gone. Like, I don't know where it goes. But it
just disappears.
It just is gone. I don't know. I could have sworn I had it.
That's the story of our life.
But when I am super diligent with my saving, that is the mindset that I have.
But you do split it up into the weeks that you have.
Yes.
So you take, this is how much money I need.
Yes.
For this show. Mm-hmm. And this is how many weeks I have until the show.
And I'm like,
divide it.
Right. So I'm like, minimum amount, how much money do I need to put away per week in that timetable?
Right. And the reason that I want Bree to say it is so that you guys listening could hear it in her voice, mm-hmm. because we're the ones that told her to do it that way.
Of course.
Right? Yeah.
We're the ones on top. We're the ones on top of it all the time.
And honestly, it's something that we could do and would do for anybody. That we help. Right. But it's important to see it play out in real life, because we could say and be like, yeah, you should do it this way.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that somebody will.
Yeah.
So here's a real world example of the advice that we've given and how it played out. Mm-hmm. Continue.
So the way that I organize, like, okay, I would just need to make sure that I put away at least this amount per week. If it's more, I'm like, I'm going to take that extra, throw it in there. The quicker that I get this paid is the better. Because guess what? At the end of it, if I have more money, then boom, mm-hmm. I'm good to go. I'm in a good place. Maybe I want to spend an extra whatever
in a dress or
a photo shoot outfit or an accessory. Like, it's mapping it out in a way that you know that you need to make sure that you set that money aside so that it gets done. Because if not, then it's like, man.
Now, I want to backtrack in that topic to show number 6, because you said it was the longest that I took from show to show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the least stressed that I had been.
Yes.
Because everything was taken care of. And I always wait till the last minute.
Right.
I all the time feel this way about people who are struggling to pay for show stuff. Because if you can't budget for it in the timeline that you want, then give yourself a little bit more time and have a good experience,
mm-hmm.
instead of stressing about all the things you need to pay. And instead of stressing about how much this is going to cost, stretch it out, right? Yeah. Like, be like, all right, you know what? I'm not going to be able to make this in 20 weeks, but I'll be able to make it in 30.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking perfect. Let's do 30 then. Let's do 35 if that makes you happier, right?
Yeah.
Like, enjoy that process. But if you give yourself more time and you don't save the money, then that's a waste.
Yeah.
Right. But it's like, it's okay to give yourself enough time to budget in a way that isn't going to be stressful and have mm-hmm. the experience that you want and the experience that you deserve.
Right.
Because it was the first time that you had that experience, but you literally had a long time and you were on top of it. You didn't let that long time, because a lot of times long time backfires. People don't save them money. People don't go to the gym. People don't eat what they need to eat because they have time. Right. So it's like, if you're going to use the time, then the time is great. Mm-hmm. As long as you use it the right way.
Right. Like, to me, it's like, okay, I know that I have this show coming up. Like, it's very important to me to, to like get everything organized, get everything set up.
She can't talk. Here's the thing. These people. That's why live is best. Reverse engineer the process. You start the same way you would reverse engineer the training, the dieting, where you are now to where you need to be for the stage. You reverse engineer the process. This is the total, right? Including all things. This is the amount of time. Here is what I am, like she said, willing to put away, able to put away, whichever way makes the most sense, because we all handle our finances different, right?
Yes.
We all diet different. We train different. We handle our finances different. But what doesn't change is that the total is going to be the same, right?
The
like, these are the amounts that I need. And I have 20 weeks, 30 weeks, 35 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
If I put this much money away over these weeks, this is how much my balance would be at the end, or this is what I would need to put away every week in order to get to that number at the end, mm-hmm. right? It's a mathematical equation. Now, obviously, not only do we all handle our finances different, but we are all in... We all handle our finances different, but we are all also in different financial situations,
yes.
right? Which is, again, why I wanted to get Bree on the show.
Yes.
Because Bree doesn't work full-time.
Right.
You know, Bree is our right-hand person and does a lot of the things, but Bree works with us and for us. So
before you say, well, she doesn't have kids and she doesn't have a mortgage, and but she also doesn't make... whatever everyone else makes, and she's still paying the same for a show.
She doesn't get a
discount. We don't get discounts, guys.
Right. She's not getting a discount because of her age or because she doesn't have kids or because she doesn't have a mortgage. No one's giving her a break on that, right?
Yeah.
She doesn't get a break on her training or her eating, or like, it's all the same, right? And if somebody in her position, right, at her age, can figure out a way to set money aside and budget and plan it out, then it is certainly something that it is doable across the board.
100%.
And that's one of the reasons why I wanted
100%.
To go over this in this segment or in this show.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, just like anything else can happen along the way, this process will start to highlight different stressors.
Mm-hmm.
And those stressors can get in the way of the transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And what ends up happening is we can have somebody who is eating and training, and because the financial part is becoming a burden or a stress, they are not enjoying it. They are not taking advantage of what's actually happening for them. And they start to only focus on the financial commitment, right? And then they don't have a good time, but they also don't see a way to pivot, which is what she was saying. It's like, if you need more time, sometimes you need more time to train.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need more time to diet. Maybe 5 or 6 more weeks of eating and training would have given you a better outcome.
Yeah.
Maybe 5 or 6 more weeks of saving would have given
exactly.
you a better experience, you know?
Yes.
So all of it needs to be taken into consideration.
Yeah.
And I don't think enough is said about that. Everybody's talking about their secret way to train or their magic diet or their protocol or whatever it is that they are trying to plug and promote on how they're going to do it. But never do I hear somebody having a conversation about how to structure your finances to cover all of the things that go into it. Think about it. And that's if you're doing a local show. What if you're traveling, right? What if you, we drove to Vegas. What if you got to figure out what the trajectory is to get there, how many days it'll take,
what
hotels you're going to stay on the way? Like,
what if you get to figure it out? Because you don't have to, you get to. That was
absolutely
a fucking dream. Sure. It costs more money. Sure, it, you know, needed more planning and it took more time, but we allowed ourselves that time to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
This journey is supposed to be enjoyed. It's supposed to be a process that you love and that doesn't stress
it. And it's something that you're choosing
to
do.
Give yourself the time. Why rush it? But I want to go back to the age card because people do that a lot with her and it fucking pisses me off because it's like, yeah, like it started with the first few shows where it's like, yeah, well, she's 20. Like, of course she looks like that. Like, do you remember when you were 20, Sally? Like, what the fuck were you doing? Because I bet you it wasn't measuring food and training and doing cardio. Like, you were out partying with your friends because I know I was. Right. Like, you're not like, oh, I got to measure out these 3 ounces of chicken.
Yeah. Let's stop playing the age card on how a physique looks.
Right.
You know,
it has
because
nothing to do with it.
Muscle isn't given away. Nobody is given muscle just because you're age.
It's not easy. And then the age card with the finance, it's like, well, you know, you don't really have any bills. It's like, what were you doing with whatever few hundred bucks you had at 20? Mm-hmm. Partying,
and if
shopping.
Anything, back to that. If you're like, and again, I'm not jumping down anybody's throat.
No, but it requires a level of discipline.
But here's the thing. Yeah, that's where I was going.
In a lot of areas of life.
A lot of times, most adults that are old, because she's an adult, but most adults that are older than her with more responsibilities don't have the same level of discipline required. And if you compare most adults her age, right, and their focus is where they're going to get drunk this weekend and where they're going to go party, right?
Or what they're going to buy.
So let's not play this age card in any scenario.
If anything, it's a disadvantage, not an advantage.
Exactly.
It's a lot harder to be disciplined at 18 and at 20 with food, with money, with your time than it is in your 30s and 40s.
100%.
Yeah.
So comment on that.
If she can do it, you can do it.
Right. Because then you think it's like, oh, yeah, well, she doesn't have kids. She doesn't have worries. Like, yeah, I don't have any of those things, which means that I have more room to choose to do
other things with your money.
Right.
And same thing with the discipline. Like,
yeah,
it's a measuring food. Like, who measures your food at 18?
Absolutely.
Like,
so
if you're Sally, we love you anyway. I just had to use whatever name came to my head. Right. I'm like, Sally.
Reach out, Sally. We'll help you too. So right now you are getting ready for your pro debut.
Yes.
And one of the things that I didn't want to touch on before when I went on that tangent is that guess what happens when you become a pro? You got to do pro things because the level of competition at the pro level is much higher, right? Mm-hmm. Imagine for any of you that follow any athletics, imagine a high school player joining the pro ranks at any sport, football, basketball, hockey, insert thing, right?
There's a whole other
thing going on, right? Imagine a college player going to the pros. Like, it's a whole other thing. But everybody's focused on winning. And guess what you just won? The ability to have to do more.
More work.
More work, you know, because the competition is harder.
I texted one of our new pros this morning that's getting ready for Atlantic City. You know who you are if you're watching. And I was like, listen, you got to get on your shit with this posing because you're about to enter an entire new ball game here. You cannot take what you did to get that pro card into that pro stage. It's not even about winning or about placing. It's about feeling good about how you're going
to
show
back
up.
Back to show one.
You don't want to show up there and be like, fuck, like I don't belong here. Like,
right.
You do belong there. Clearly someone thought you belonged there, but you got to think so too. Right. And you got to function at that level.
And guess what? It costs more at the pro level.
Oh my gosh.
You know? Like and that's the thing. Like everyone's rushing, but you don't even know what it means to be a pro. Why are you so caught up in trying to get this pro card and trying to place? If you don't know what it means, you don't know what it entails, and you may not be ready to work that hard.
You got
to
work hard.
Learn those things as an amateur, right? Put in the work as an amateur so that when your moment comes, you are already a pro. It's just a matter of which show you get that pro card in.
Yeah.
But people are rushing.
Almost, yeah.
Right. Like, listen, insert thing, right? Just because you got a medical degree doesn't mean that you're ready to cut somebody open. Right. You've got to go through your internship and you've got to go do your residency and you've got to practice on dead cadavers and you've got to do all those things before you actually cut a live human open.
Oh my God.
Same thing, guys. Like, and I know that it's an extreme example.
No, but it's true.
But, yeah.
You know,
you got to do pro shit.
You got to do pro shit. And if you're not willing to do pro shit, then stop worrying about your placement and enjoy the process of improving yourself because that's all that's happening.
Yeah.
You are eating well and you are training.
And you're having a weekend to be pretty.
And you are improving the way you look and feel and your self-confidence. And those are the big wins, guys. Those are the big wins. Not the trophy or the medal. Those are the big wins. Because when you leave that show, that's what you take home with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, too. It's interesting because as a society and as humans, we all like to be rewarded and acknowledged, right, for our achievements, for the work we put in. We do it across the board. We do it since we're kids. You get awards in school for whatever thing, and then the parents get the little sticker things that they put on the car, and then you get to work and you have, you know, the person of the quarter or whatever people do, right? Like, there's always a way to acknowledge people's work, mm-hmm. people's hard work, people's dedication, people's
I want to be the person of the quarter.
The person of the quarter.
You're like my therapist of the quarter. Anyway, so I get it. Like, I get that you put in all this work and you get there and you start to see sashes and you start to see crowns and you start to see medals and you start, and like, it's natural to want to be the person receiving that. But that has to be backed with a certain amount of work and experience, mm-hmm. and even like love and passion for what you're doing. That, like, it goes together. You can't just want the acknowledgement because you think you worked hard. It's like, who have you become? How have you enjoyed that process? Because if you're stressing out at an amateur show, let me tell you something. You're in for a rude awakening for a pro show. You got to learn to love the process. You got to learn to love
the sport, the person you're becoming, you're evolving into.
You got to love the grind. You got to know you're going to lose 90% of the time before you win once.
We're like, a few weeks away from the NBA season starting. All the teams started zero, right? And every pro athlete going into that season wants to win a championship, mm-hmm. right? It's not like the winners and the losers have different goals. Everybody wants to win. But obviously this summer, some people did more work than other people.
And it's going to show.
And it's going
to
show.
And that's okay. You know, but you will lose more than you will win. We say that to people all the time. I'm going on my ninth show.
Even this, right? This is one of the things that people miss. One of the things that has come out of competing for both of them is the ability to do this, right? Where we are having this conversation in front of a camera and it's all lively.
Oh my God, I would have never.
You know, like, those are the things, that's the prize.
Right. You know, I was gonna bring it up earlier. I just wasn't sure what I was gonna insert it. I was editing a video the other day and I had to watch countless of our old podcasts and interviews with other people. And I stumbled upon the documentary that we did at the gym in Miami. Mm-hmm. And I think I had just done one show.
Mm-hmm. That was your first.
I had just done one show and I did that interview right after. I was watching it just like cringing so much. I'm like, do I not know how to speak English? Like, why do I talk that way? Like, why am I so shy? Why can't I just say what's actually on my mind? Like, at that point to me, I'm like, man, like, I'm just saying whatever I think is right to say. Like, I wasn't actually communicating what I felt or how I did feel. Like, and now, like, right. I wanted to bring that up because I'm like, that was after one show. This is after six. Like, to me, like, I noticed a lot of growth in that, but I hadn't realized it until I went to look back.
Two things there. That's the thing about a process of growth. If you're in it for growth, if you're in it for change like that, like how we went into it in a lot of ways, and you do get to that point, it's like, you have to be okay with sucking at first.
Right.
Like, no one, like, we hear this all the time in a lot of different things we listen to. Like, you have to be okay sucking. Like, you have to be okay looking back at your first and second and third stage pictures and stage videos and be like, what the fuck was I thinking? Or first couple photo shoots, like, what was happening here?
But can I say something really quick? You know, one of the reasons that happens is because as you grow and as you evolve, show 9, show 6, you can look back at those pictures. Now your standards are so different,
yeah,
right?
Different. Everything's different.
But think about this. If before you started, you saw your pictures of the after result of show 1, you would have been on the opposite end of that and been like, there's no way that's going to happen.
100%.
There's no way I could look like that,
yes.
Right? But show 9, show 6, going on show 7, you look back and you're like, wow, like I shouldn't have even been on stage looking like that, right? But it's because you have changed and your standards have changed and your physique has changed so much. And along the way, your belief has changed so much. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things that stands out to me a lot of times when somebody says, I want that outcome, but I don't want to step on stage. There is a level of belief that you don't have that
you desperately need
that won't allow you to actually go the full route, right? Like, there are so many things that are compelling about setting this goal that just don't translate into day-to-day life, right?
This journey changes you.
And there is no one that doesn't want to go to the beach or poolside, mm-hmm. or wherever and look good in their bathing suit or bikini. Right. Like, that isn't a thing. What happens is when you say, I don't want to look gone on stage in a bikini, it's that you don't feel like you are capable or like you can, or that you'll have the confidence. That's the journey.
Yeah.
You know, that's where the journey
is. That journey changes you inside and out. That weekend is super magical, but like we say it all the time, like this goal is amazing for you to get this huge outcome and to become a completely different person after that. That's really where the magic is, right? Because what's one weekend? It's fucking awesome. It's fun. Yeah. It's life changing, but that weekend ends, right? Yeah. And you can insert many other weekends like that, like we do.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. But like, who are you at? Who are you when you show up in other areas of your life as a wife, as a mom, as a friend, as a professional and whatever?
As a sister, as a daughter,
100%.
As a video editor, as a friend,
exactly.
as an athlete. Like
that's like what matters, mm-hmm. right? Like who you become so that you can show up in all areas of your life as that different version of you.
And I really wish that more people would look at it from that lens.
Yeah.
Instead of the lens that most people look at it through. And listen, not everything is for everyone. Not everyone wants to jump out of an airplane.
Definitely not.
Not everyone wants to, you know, parachute or get on a roller coaster. I get it. Not all things are for all people. But exercising and eating the right way and feeling good about the way that you look,
yes.
and being confident and embracing the possibility that you could live your days out in a body or vessel or whatever you want to call it that you're proud of, that is for everybody.
With a new internal you that you're also proud of. Because mm-hmm. the body is great.
So Bri is prepping for her pro debut.
Show number seven.
Show number one as a pro.
Oh, man. And you know, I was going to say this earlier, but I forgot. You said it to me already. It's like you're starting from your first show
100%.
Again. And no one thinks it's like, oh, yeah, show number seven. Like, you'll be fine. It's like, no,
You go from like being at the top to being at the bottom.
But here's the thing. You're at the bottom, but your standards are much higher. It's not your first show, never done it before, never been in that kind of shape. Now it's first show, but now your standards are all the way up here instead mm-hmm. of all the way down mm-hmm. here. It's like, how am I, like, you keep leveling up.
And that's why I think, and you know, to her point, that's why you shouldn't, like, win right away.
No,
because
no way.
And listen, if you're
undeniable,
if you're
like,
undeniable,
what are you gonna do?
You're undeniable.
But
I'm not dismissing
it at
that.
The same time, yeah.
But what I was gonna say is that the experiences of doing multiple shows are what put you mm-hmm. in the mindset.
Fuck yeah.
Of that first pro show, you saying, "I can't come in with just whatever."
No.
Right? Like you don't cut corners.
No.
You are going to train harder. You are going to watch your diet better. You are going to work on a better bikini. You are going to work on your posing more because that is what's required at the pro level, right? But if you haven't had experiences to compare to that or to get you ready for that, then it is hard to step into that.
100%. Like life, it's a metaphor for life. Like that climb is really where it's at. Like fucking up in one of your preps and me like, this wasn't my best. Mm-hmm. I didn't give posing my all. Oh shit, look at this, I placed third. Oh snap, look at this, I look better. Oh, this bikini wasn't for me. That climb, that, okay, if I place third as my best, and at the very least, I'd like to place second, or I'd like to be competitive. Like mm-hmm. having stepping stones to that big moment instead of just going into big moments, because then what happens is you get used to those big moments and at some point you're not gonna have a big moment, right? And then that's gonna suck.
Yeah.
So it's like going into that first show, like, yes, with higher standards and all those things, but it's like, all right, as long as I look my best, and now as long as I celebrate the fact that I'm on a pro stage, and as long as I look like I belong here,
right.
that's a fucking win.
Right.
You know, and,
yeah.
and that climb, that those like milestones that make you who you are and that make you fit in any given moment instead of just landing there and not
yeah.
really being ready for it.
100%. Right. One of the things that we are working on with Bri on for this go around is her having a better social media presence,
mm-hmm.
right? So where can people find you, Bri?
On Instagram, it's Getin, like no G, G-E-T-T-I-N.
I will put it in the show notes, but.
Fit with Bri, B-R-I.
I will put a link to her IG page on Instagram, and she also does the Tiki Talk. You could follow her on that. She does her dances. But it's something that we are working
on. But we love you anyway.
For this show for her, because that is a part of the process.
Yes.
And Bri is our media person. So she has a separate page for video editing and different things like
she
that.
She also has a YouTube. She's posted once or twice. She has a YouTube.
Yeah,
that's one thing. That I mean, it's so many things. Like this time, it's like, man, like now I really need to get over that.
Right. So there's a lot of things that she's working on. Mm-hmm. So follow her. For us, we are trying to do better at podcasting.
We didn't talk about today's International Podcast Day.
Today is International Podcast Day.
Yes.
And we're doing a podcast.
We should take a shot.
It's early. We got to train.
We got to train still.
But one of the things, guys, is like we always tell you guys.
She was ready for a shot.
If you're listening and watching, interact. Like, comment, like the thing, share the thing. Like,
Talk to us.
Like, let's get this podcast out there. You know, who else do you want us to interview? Tag them, write their name. Like,
we'll make it happen.
We will make it happen. Yeah. You know, it's one of the coolest things that we get to do. But we don't do it as often. And I would be surprised if we don't do it as often because we don't have, just like anybody else, these targets of who we are going to talk to or interview mapped out the same way we have other targets, right?
Yes.
Like we knew that we were going to interview Bree, and it's been on delay for so long, right? But here we are, we did it. And it happened to be on International Podcast Day. But it is important that the relationship go both ways. I always talk about that. Relationships go both ways.
We need to do a podcast on relationships and friendships.
Who would want to see a podcast on relationships and friendships? Raise your hand or
And that includes
something.
Parenting because that is a relationship.
Right.
People don't realize
So even this relationship, guys, with you guys listening or watching, do the podcast thing, right? I watch so many. And at the end, they're like, give me a 5-star rating. I'm like, what if it wasn't 5 stars?
You don't have to give us a 5-star rating, but say something, comment something. Let us know your thoughts.
So we will be back with another episode of Lice and Coach. I don't know if the next one will be the relationship one. But we will be back with another episode.
Yes.
And we are working on doing a lot more of these. Mm-hmm. We haven't even talked about the gym or anything.
We haven't talked about anything. Mm-hmm. And that's why we need to get on this podcast without an interview next.
Yes. So next episode, just Lice and the Coach. Anyway, peace out, everybody. Happy Friday.
Bye, guys.
Enjoy your weekend. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. We are on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, YouTube, Facebook, and all other platforms. Peace out.